Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. The news topics for tonight: Andrea Yates is guilty. Praise the Lord for that verdict. But don't say, see, the system works. Please, don't say that. Second topic, crime rates are increasing. Crime rates are increasing. They never really went down. They were only postponed when we doubled the jail population throughout the 90s. So the crime rates didn't really go down. They were just postponed. Third topic, the Middle East. Rush Limbaugh was superb. I don't always compliment Rush. He's fun to listen to. But he was superb while discussing Israel and the Palestinians, saying that there must be a winner and a loser in this, or it will not end. It will not end until there's a winner and a loser. And he's right. He's saying there needs to be a war and a victor before this will end. And that was true of World War II. It's true of the terrorism. It's true. The Rocky Mountain News editorial page today condemning Arafat for calling young Palestinians to sacrifice themselves as martyrs. He did that on TV this past week. Yeah, Arafat, a televised speech calling for more Palestinian martyrs to sacrifice their lives in the jihad. Right? Bush said, if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. And our church, Denver Bible Church, said, Arafat harbors terrorists. In fact, we have a website titled arafatharborsterrorists.com. You could check it out. A lot of people have. And we just ask people to email those two statements to the president. The next news story we hope to cover, our B-1 planes are bombing the whale. They're bombing the whale in Operation Anaconda near Gardez, Afghanistan, where we hopefully will finish the job soon. The whale, that's what our troops there call the ridge that the Al-Qaeda fighters are holed up in caves on the whale. And the dog owner in San Francisco who cried when she recounted the grisly attack by her dog and the death of her neighbor. And then finally, the Fighting Whiteys. A Native American group has named a sports team the Fighting Whiteys because they're angry about Indian team names like the Kansas City Chiefs, for example. So those are the issues we hope to get to during the show. Our number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Andrea Yates is guilty. Praise the Lord for that verdict. Of course, we thank God whenever justice is observed, when it's acknowledged, when it's done. But how about those today who said, see, the system works? Oh, that just tears at me. I can't stand it when I hear people say that. Please don't ever say, see, the system works, when you're referring to our criminal justice system. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. That's a good soundbite. You might be able to use that in an interview someday. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. That's all it is. And it was right today, but even a broken clock is right twice a day. So don't say, see, the system works. The system doesn't work. The system is a colossal failure. When a nation has a crime epidemic, there's only one cause of a crime epidemic, and that is a failed criminal justice system. That's it. The lawyers who say we have the best system in the world, what they mean is that we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. But when you look at our violent crime rate and our incarceration rate, 2 million Americans in jail on any given day, it was 1 million in 1990. We doubled it during the 90s. That's why they said the crime numbers decreased. But they didn't decrease. They were just postponed. That was it. They were just postponed. Because all those people get out of jail one of these days. So anyway, please don't believe the lawyers. Jesus didn't have anything good to say about lawyers. Don't believe the lawyers when they tell you we have the best system in the world. Because we could take their opinion as evidence, but that's just hearsay, right? And then we could look at the hard facts of the murder rates and the rapes and the aggravated assault and the people in jail and in prison. And we see when you look at our violent crime rate, our murder and rapes, and you come up with a way to combine that with our incarceration rate, with 2 million Americans in jail, we have one of the worst systems in the world. If you take its effect, its results, it's a colossal failure. Why is that? Well, that's one of the things we cover on the show. Well, anyway, Andrea Yates is guilty today. And praise God for that. But the feminists are out in force. They're out in force condemning the guilty verdict of Yates. On Crossfire, Patricia Ireland. Andrea Yates clearly thought she was doing the right thing. That's what Patricia Ireland said, longtime feminist leader. That's what was her argument, that Andrea Yates thought she was doing the right thing. Well, Patty, so did Hitler. So did the terrorist who flew those planes into the World Trade Center. So what's your point? If a criminal thinks he's doing the right thing, then it's not a crime, or then you're not responsible? In the end of the book of Judges, the last verse, God said everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes, and it was a disaster. That shouldn't give you a get-out-of-jail-free card. If a guy thinks, well, so-and-so deserved it, that's why I killed him. Just because you think you're doing the right thing. Feminist lawyer Gloria Allred called the verdict sad, horrifying, and nauseating. The vice president of NOW, the National Organization of Witches, the National Organization of Women, Karen Johnson. There's just a parade of feminists out there today. NOW was raising money for Andrea Yates. Andrea Yates became their poster child. Why? Why would it be? Well, to these pro-abortion women, killing a child is a sacrament. To abortion feminists, this is a case of religious freedom. That's what this case is. That's why the feminists are raising money for this woman who's killed her 5 kids. And she's a good poster child for them. Remember, the New York Times ran a 3-page article saying it should be legal to kill your kids after birth.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23. Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Welcome back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So to the pro-abortion forces out there, Andrea Yates is their poster child. They're always looking for a cause celeb where someone has killed, a woman has killed her children, and she's innocent. They just love that. They just love it. So on CNN today, on Crossfire, there's the liberal against the conservative, and the conservative said, well, kids are good and murder is bad. That's how he tried to sum up the Andrea Yates deal. And Patricia Ireland was on Crossfire. And so the conservative said, Tucker Carlson, he said, kids are good and murder is bad. And the liberal said, well, we can all agree on that. And the conservative said, I'm not so sure we all agree with that. Oh, that was so great. That was just absolutely so great. Why did Andrea Yates kill her kids? Why? Because she couldn't take the pressure anymore, and she was going to abandon them, but she didn't want them to suffer the abandonment, and then she would have to deal with the guilt of them wondering where their mother is. So she, and this is a common motive, when a man kills his wife and then his kids, or a teenager kills his parents and then his siblings, because he doesn't want his brother and sister to grow up having had a brother who murdered their parents. So out of a selfish concern for your own feelings, the teenager murders his parents and then he kills his brother and sister so he doesn't have to feel the guilt that obviously looking at them would make him feel. And the same thing with the husband who murders his wife and then his kids, because he doesn't want them to go through life with parents who murder suicide. So he kills them. He thinks in a way he's doing them a favor. So all those people get out of jail free. Andrea Yates killed her kids because she couldn't take it anymore. But if she just left, they would be hurt, angry at her. So for her own selfish needs, she didn't want to have to deal with that. So if I just kill them, then their hurt is just momentary. It's fleeting. And then they're dead and it's over. But Andrea, you're supposed to be a Christian. When you're dead, it's not over. When you're dead, it's not over. And all every murder-suicide where like the terrorists think they got away with it because we couldn't catch them, we couldn't bring them to justice because they're dead, are they in it for a rude awakening? So, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to New Hope, Alabama. Andy, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
I met you when you came down to Decatur.
All right, Decatur, Alabama for a seminar. Great.
Right, yeah. And I was going to talk about, or see what you thought about, maybe help me with some teen behavior problems we have in our church. But I thought first, since you're talking about Andrea Yates,
yeah.
If I could mention, no one is more demographically like the Yates family than my wife and I. We have five kids, four boys and a girl, that are the same age as those children were.
All right.
And my wife homeschools them. And, you know, you were talking the other night about how Christians even have been fooled by the media into thinking there's an excuse for this. When this first happened, I called my mom, and I spoke to her, and she is a Christian, and she sympathizes with Andrea Yates and says, you know, all the pressure, we don't understand what she's going through. And she thought it was really hateful of me to suggest that she ought to be put to death.
Oh, what a shame.
So she's willing, video on the death penalty.
Let me interrupt you, Andy.
Yes.
Your mom is willing to judge you, but not a woman who murdered her kids.
It's not the first time that's happened.
No, and that's what our Christian culture is producing.
Yes.
Is your mom Christian?
She is.
Yeah, our Christian culture is producing an army of Christians who will not condemn the wicked. They only condemn the Christians who call for justice.
And it gets even better than that, because I sent her your video on New Testament support for the death penalty, and she watched it, and she believes that all that's in the Bible. She doesn't dispute that, although she doesn't read it. But she said, even though it's in there,
yeah,
we don't need to be so harsh in a case like this.
Right, so when God says, will you profane me keeping people alive who should not live, your mom says, yes.
But it would change if it got a little more personal, because, you know, like I said, our family is so much like the Yates family.
Yeah.
I said, well, Mom, what if Cindy were to do that to our children? And she said, that would be a different story if something happened to my grandkids.
Right, what a shame. Huh? All right, Andy, what was the main purpose of your
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, our church here, you know, this is a small town, and it's hard to get young people into the churches, and it's mostly older people in our church. So the church built a gym before we moved here to try to attract teenagers, and it went really well. We've attracted quite a few teenagers. Some of them don't have any interest in being Christian. Some of them only, I teach the teenage Sunday school class that six of them go to.
Yeah.
At least one boy, he's not Christian, he admits it. He listens to everything I say. Mm-hmm. He doesn't cause trouble in class. He really has no interest in it. He's there because his girlfriend's there.
Oh.
He even goes up to stand with her in the choir, but then chews gum while he's there.
Andy, let me interrupt you.
Yes.
I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And at our church, we would not allow that. We wouldn't let our church be a meat market for teenagers to hit on the young women in our church.
Right.
We go to certain lengths to discourage that. That just wouldn't happen. If that kid wants to learn about God, I'm available. Elders in the church are available. The men are available, not the women, not the girls. And so we would not allow him to stand in the choir. In a way, that's like mocking God.
Yes.
Here's this pagan leading worship in the church.
Right.
And he's only there so he could hit on this girl in the choir. And how about her spiritual growth? Are they boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yes, they are. At 15 years old.
What a tragedy! What a tragedy that Christian parents and churches allow this type of social environment where the 15-year-old girls are into romantic relationships.
She is a Christian, and my wife is trying to beat into her how dumb it is to be dating right now, especially dating a non-Christian.
You know what? It's her parents that need to be beat into.
I know.
And the pastor. Does the church have a laissez-faire attitude toward young girls in the church, and if guys want to hit on them, the church is a good venue?
Well, it's never been mentioned
okay.
in the church. But, you know, part of the problem is a lot of these teens, for instance, the girl that I'm talking about, and she is a Christian, her mom just got out of jail. Her mom's living with a live-in boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think the church has the attitude that if we can at least have them here and expose them
That's a cop-out attitude. Because let me ask you a question, Andy.
Yes.
I don't know how many churches or large youth groups, small youth groups you're familiar with, but I've been a Christian for over a quarter of a century, attended churches all around this country, done a talk show for 10 years. I'm very familiar. Mm-hmm. And would you agree or disagree with this observation? Kids in church youth groups often get dragged into drugs, alcohol, and sex through youth group members.
Oh, I would agree, absolutely.
Yeah. Our youth groups have become almost as dangerous as the public schools. And the churches are asleep. The pastors are unaware of this trap that they're setting for their own teenagers. And it's frustrating because in our church, other churches, it's like they're almost seducing our kids away from their parents, away from their church, because they can go to a youth group. I'll tell a story. One family just told me, the youth group where the kids go, it's a concert. The lights are dark. You can't hear any of the words.
Oh.
The kids go off into classrooms by themselves, boys and girls and couples. They go behind the church. They smoke. They go there to be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
And that is drawing kids. The good families in that church and in the church around it, they're having their kids being pulled away from them, and it's from a church-sponsored event.
Right.
It's like the church is splitting up the families, and the youth leaders don't have the wisdom to see what's going on. I just got an email from a guy on the East Coast, and he said in capital letters, youth groups don't work. That's interesting. You know, the Bible says quite frequently that churches should have youth groups. So,
right, I've seen those verses too.
So I don't know what to do. You know, what do you do about it? It's just a mess. The moral culture in our country is so low. There are so many kids who have severe sexual morality problems as young teenagers.
Yes.
That you get 20 kids or 200 kids together, and that's extremely dangerous mixture.
Right.
So you need extraordinary wisdom. And in my experience, the youth pastors cover up the problems. And when the kids date, they don't tell anybody.
Right.
Right.
Well, we don't have a separate youth pastor. Like I say, we're a small church. And I really don't know what to do here. I'm the youngest man in the church. We're fairly new here, just moved here about a year ago.
I would very gently and gradually make the concerns known. I would let the leadership know that youth groups are a real source of trouble for kids, and that you see that happening in your own small church. And if the church addresses it carefully and quickly, they could avoid a lot of heartache.
I've been hinting at that. I gave the pastor a copy of Pam Stenzel's video that we got from y'all.
Well, that's great.
He watched it. He said it looked good to him.
Sex has a price tag. It's a great video. Yeah. It is great.
I'm hoping to show that to my class. But
all right.
I really don't know how much impact it will have on non-Christians while they're in there.
Andy, I want to thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome, sir.
And alerting us to that problem. I appreciate that. Now from Alabama, we go to Michigan at KC Speak Your Mind. Hello, KC. No? No? Okay, hold on a second. KC, are you there?
I have to keep the radio up.
Go ahead, KC.
Okay, first off, I had a conversation with the gentleman that answered the phone, and he was...
our call screener.
Okay, and majority of the people are evil, and I asked him book and verse, and he said, well, you would have that?
Okay, let's let the audience in on what's going on, KC. You talked to the call screener about government, and our call screener said that the majority of the people are evil.
Well, I had asked him if you had ever had an audience before Congress. With where you could speak to them, did you have yourself or maybe an assistant or somebody else agency trying to get you that appointment where you could speak to at least some of the members of Congress?
No, I sure never have. We haven't tried to do that.
And he was saying, well, that to get that high, you know, they're professional liars, and you know, they just got to be able to read people's minds basically and tell them what they want to hear to work your way for. And I said, well, you know, I would like to think that God hasn't removed all of his people from our government, and maybe there's just some people there that need to hear your message as a wake-up call.
Yeah, well...
you understand?
Jesus said that the road to hell is wide, and many are they on it, and the path to eternal life is narrow, and few are on that path. And that idea that the majority is evil is borne out by the history of the world, which is one of war and violence and hatred, and the history in the Bible. So the majority's evil. So when you have majority rule, you're in trouble as far as the government is concerned.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
You must be them NYOC people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work.
freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out, because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you, better than you, or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. We're still here now in Denver to let those in Texas know, in Odessa and Midland, Texas. Our Denver affiliate leaves us after the first half hour. And they right now are our largest affiliate with the largest audience. So in the second half hour, it's more like an informal fireside chat. We could even say things that are secret and many people won't know. And I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, so the second half hour seems more intimate to me. I enjoy it. Okay. Now, we'll finish up with Michigan. KC, so that verse and others where Jesus said the majority are on their way to hell and that there's a minority that care enough about God to be on his narrow way to heaven.
Well, who are we to say, Bob, that everybody who's in Congress or to judge, identifying and judge a group? I think that, Bob, there's some godly people still in our government that could be awakened spiritually from your message, from your common sense, okay? That they could say, you know, I've been thirsting for this. I'm dying for it. You know, I don't see where you can just say, you know, you're not the judge of the universe. You're not God. You don't read the hearts and the minds of those men.
No,
I listen to them on C-SPAN. Some of them are good.
KC, I haven't even...
They love our country.
KC, I haven't even talked about them, have I? I'm not talking about them. You asked about... The majority, I think, and I quoted Jesus saying the majority is evil.
Yeah, but I thought I started off by saying that I just asked for a verse and everything, and then you gave me the gate is wide.
Yeah, that's okay. Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question.
So I went on to ask about Congress. That was my main reason for calling. You know, I think they could use a message like yours, and
right.
You went on to say that
okay,
they're all evil.
Let's talk about – I didn't say that.
You're a screener.
All right, well –
directly implied that.
All right, I'll have to ask him exactly what he said. But let me ask you, when Jesus said that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many on that path,
right.
And narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few are they who find that.
I'll answer that with the parable of the planter, you know, where you spread some seed and some falls on hard ground.
Okay, our job
is to go out, Bob, and
KC,
spread the truth,
KC,
spread the word.
KC, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Let's try to be real focused.
Okay.
Do you agree with that? Because I don't know you. Do you agree with that, what Jesus said, that most people are going to hell in a in a minority are going to heaven. Do you agree with that?
I suppose.
You suppose so. All right. Well,
I
strongly agree with that. I strongly agree with that. Now, in how does that work itself out in our country of America, which country I love? I love America. It's my country.
Right, mine too.
I love my.
We don't know that. The Bible's not clear on that. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars to the end, so there will be resistance.
No, I'm asking. No, I'm asking. How does
state level or federal level or county level?
KC, I'm asking. How does that principle that the majority is evil? How can we see it playing out in our country of America? Let me give you a few examples.
Oh, through our NEA, through our humanist, secular, homosexual, lesbian promoting agenda, anti-Christian, hate God, and remove traditional knowledge and values from our reality.
Right, and
Khrushchev said it, right?
I'm going to put you on hold. All right, KC, I put you on hold, and I'm going to bring you back. KC, let me get in here a little bit, all right?
All right.
Okay, it's a discussion. The government leads the way. When the government says you can legally kill your children, and when the government persecutes Christians who are peacefully trying to save babies, and it defends the child killers, right. When the government gives babies to homosexual couples, and it persecutes Christians who say, I don't want to rent my upstairs apartment to homosexuals because I have kids. I don't want them to see that.
Oh, understood. Yeah, right, Satan's so, networking everything right. together in these end times. Nothing makes sense.
So when the majority is evil, if the majority wants the right to kill...
But we still need to take the message out there, Bob, and reach all the
groups. You keep interrupting me. Huh. I'll pause so you could talk, and then you pause so I can talk.
Well, I guess back to my main question, do you think it'd be, I think it'd be great, Bob, if you could have an audience before Congress. Is that something you'd be interested in pursuing?
Well, not that I would pursue it. Of course I would go, but it's not something I've planned or thought
of. You
wouldn't
send a letter of introduction and ask for an audience and just throw it out there and see what
happens? Obviously it would have to be based on some topic. In my experience, I've testified before committees here in Denver at the Capitol. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
In Denver, they were dealing with a law where they were trying to make it illegal to discriminate against homosexuals.
Right. And a hate type stuff.
Right. And what stuff happening all over the country. My friends begged me to go and to speak. And I said to them, if we go and we speak and we say that homosexuality is wrong, then we will be helping the other side. Because even the conservative Christians on the committee will despise us for saying publicly that homosexuals
are wrong.
Well,
Bob, it ain't really you saying it, though. It's God saying it.
Well,
okay. They need to be reminded of that.
But so we went, and we testified. And let me tell you what the conservative Christian Republican chairman of the committee said after we spoke. And what we said was that homosexuality is wrong, and it's destroying our country. That's what we said.
It's one of the cogs in the gear.
Yeah, right.
Grinding us up.
Yeah, it's one problem of many, but right. It's a big one.
True.
The conservative Christian chairman of the committee said, after I've heard you Christians speak, I'm almost inclined to vote for this bill giving these rights to homosexuals. I'm almost inclined to vote for it. But for other principles, I won't. So I've been around long enough to know that even the what conservative Christian leader is standing up in America, political leader, saying homosexuality is destroying our kids. We need to protect them by teaching the world that homosexuality is wrong. What, could you name a conservative Christian Republican that's doing that?
Well... I don't know. One of the best I know of is Ron Paul from Texas.
Yeah.
I haven't heard him address that issue.
Yeah. In my experience...
He's a constitutionalist, and I think he's a real hero for our
Well, think
public.
About Dick Cheney. And, you know, Dick Cheney, George Bush has done a fabulous job.
I think Junior, that apple fell way far from the tree. I'm praying.
I'm not talking about his daughter. I'm talking about him.
Talking about the president.
I'm talking about the vice president. George...
Right, but then you said Bush. Okay. I don't know much.
Yeah,
about
that's
that.
Because you interrupted me, Casey. George W. Bush is doing a great job prosecuting the war in Afghanistan, and he just is, and I'm thrilled for that. But Vice President Cheney, if you remember during the vice presidential debates, he was asked about the states who are trying to legalize homosexuals getting married. And the Christians have been fighting against that with our Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, saying only a man and a woman can get married.
True.
And Dick Cheney said this. He said, if a state wants to legalize homosexuals getting married, then that is their right. They should be able to do that.
You know, what I think is interesting, Bob, is that it's already been released or leaked out intentionally that Cheney will not be the running mate.
Well,
next run.
All right. Hey, thank
and
you,
And I
Casey.
Think that's a hell of a statement coming from George Bush, and I applaud him for it.
Casey, thank you for your call.
You bet.
Okay. Bye. All right. Now, see, I always do this. I have these stories I want to get through, and then I got all these interesting calls. Let me do this. Before I go to the next call, I want to quote to you from the editorial in the Rocky Mountain News about Arafat. All right? Now, Arafat and the Palestinians. The Rocky Mountain News says, hey, Ariel Sharon has taken a step toward negotiating with the Palestinians just in the past 2 days. So what has the Palestinian leadership done about it? And they list terrorist gunmen and martyrs targeting babies, murdering 13-year-olds attending bar mitzvahs, and blowing up students at nightclubs. That's what they've done over the weekend, says the main editorial in the Rocky Mountain News today. And they say Yasser Arafat, last weekend, in a televised speech to Palestinians, urged them to sacrifice themselves as martyrs in a jihad for Palestine. Now that's, Yasser Arafat is a terrorist. And in the editorial, they say this is reprehensible language. Of course it is. He says Arafat supposedly wants to reduce terrorism, and he's calling for more terrorism. So obviously, don't we all know that? And then they say, and the thing that it's so good when the media says this, but it's almost never said, but they said it here. They said there is no moral difference between a terrorist flying into a skyscraper with a jet and one who unleashes a bomb in a Jerusalem nightclub. Amen to that. It's just as wrong to kill a Jewish mother as an American mother when a terrorist does either. And we should not negotiate with Osama bin Laden, and we should not negotiate with Yasser Arafat, the terrorist. And so the Rocky Mountain News, then, they contradict themselves by saying that Arafat should go to the negotiating table with the U.S. and with Israel. What a shame. Why do they got to contradict themselves like that? You don't negotiate with terrorists. Okay. Let's see. The crime rate increasing here in Denver. In Denver, it's up 17%. The violent crime, murder, rape, all that. You see, the crime numbers didn't decrease. They were just postponed.
Bob Enyar teaches the Bible like few others. And one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, he carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline, long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver. and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYART.
Welcome back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. I've got an email here from Alabama, a husband and wife, Michael and Lynn, and they say they're about to have a champagne toast for the jury's correct verdict in the Andrea Yates case. Another random event in a mindless system, our justice system, but one we've been praying for. All right. Very good. That's neat. Okay. And somebody else saying that many good families are pulling out of youth groups. I see that happening. And also the same person, this is, by the way, people sending us instant messages over the internet on AOL. We are kgovlive@aol.com. Bob and Yart Live, if you don't catch the whole show, you want to catch a previous show, you can't listen at the hour we're on the air, you can listen anytime to any show at kgov.com. So during the program, people instant message us at kgovlive@aol.com. And this guy points out that Arafat won a Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, right. And what a sad thing. Okay. Now, we're going to go back to the phones here. But, yeah, the crime rates have not decreased. They were just postponed by doubling the number of people in prison. And so that's the topic, I think, of this next caller. Now, I want to bring him up. Is Jim from South Bend, Indiana?
Yeah.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How about you?
Good. Jim, my call screener told me what you wanted to talk about, and let me just set it up, all right? Because okay. I want to be very sensitive that there are families listening. And you said you're a construction worker and worked with a guy today that told you when he was in jail, there were homosexuals there, and they didn't bother him or others, but they knew what they were doing in their own cells, and it was terrible.
Yeah, you could hear them.
Yeah, that's terrible. Right.
And I'm thinking that prisons are breeding grounds for militant homosexuals and evil in general.
And terrorists. That's where some of the terrorists, that's where they were recruited, in jail.
Yeah.
They go to jail, and our government pays them so that they can have a full-time mission to convert people to radical Islam in jail. And so they go to jail for the crimes they commit, and then they find the malcontents of society, and they fill them with rage and sign them up. Hitler wrote Mein Kampf in jail. God never authorized jail as a form of punishment. God authorized 3 punishments: the death penalty, corporal punishment, and restitution. That's it.
Yeah. I went and visited some friends of mine this weekend.
Yeah.
And they were telling me, I was asking about some old friends that went to jail when we were teenagers, and now we're in our middle 40s. And, you know, every one of them has went back over and over and over, and they're all back in jail now.
Mm.
And it's like it's addicting or something.
I
can't understand how they want to live their life like that.
Right. It is addicting. Jail is a joke. You go to jail, if you go to jail for a few months, you laugh the whole time you're in there. You laugh, you gamble, you read pornography, you watch constant cable TV and soft porn movies that the inmates pick out which movies they're going to watch. At least that's in the Denver County Jail. And they buy the pornography in the jail from the commissary.
Hey, that's another question I'd like to ask you.
Yeah.
I was reading that when they dropped the food over in Afghanistan,
yeah,
that they also dropped $600,000 worth of television sets. Why do we want to send them television sets?
Well, Yeah, because TV has certainly done its share in destroying this country. So, yeah, we're not only going to liberate them from the Taliban, we're going to liberate them into pornography and alcohol and drug use and homosexuality and abortion. We're going to liberate them into the whole American experience.
Yeah.
So it's too bad that we have the force to liberate a country, but not the wisdom to know what to do with freedom once you get it. We don't have the wisdom. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right, the dog owner who was crying on the witness stand as she recounted this terrible attack of her dog. You know the story in San Francisco where the two dogs mauled this woman to death, and the dog owners are on trial. And I've heard just today a very well-known conservative saying how ridiculous it is to blame the dog owners. And she was speaking as though that's outside the pale. The Bible addresses this. When an animal kills someone, the Bible says that if an ox gores someone to death, an ox kills someone, or a dog, then, or let's say you have a boa constrictor in your apartment complex, or you have a dog, an ox kills someone, then the owner is not guilty of the murder unless the owner had reason to believe that the ox had the tendency to gore people. If the ox had the tendency to attack people and the owner was negligent by not keeping it constrained, and the owner's ox, who the owner knew he had a tendency to gore people, to injure people, and the owner did not keep the animal constrained, and then the ox gores someone to death, then the owner is guilty of capital negligence. Guilty of capital negligence. By the way, when an animal kills a person, what does God say to do to the animal? Kill the animal too. Now, killing an animal is not nearly as significant as killing a person. But God didn't say, send the animal to a pet psychiatrist and see if the animal was temporarily insane. No, somebody intentionally kills someone. In other words, it's not an accident and it's not gross negligence. It's intentional. If an animal intentionally kills someone, the animal gets put to death. And if the owner knew that he had a dangerous animal and he let the animal get away and it killed the neighbor, then the owner is responsible. So what a shame. It was Ann Coulter on, I forget, MSNBC or whatever she was on. Ann Coulter saying, there's no way that these dog owners should be held responsible. I didn't get that. I just didn't get that. And then we have the American Indian activists who are upset when we name our sports teams Indian names, like the Washington Redskins or the Kansas City Chiefs. Or how about the Atlanta Braves with their tomahawk chop? Right? It's really hypocritical seeing Ted Turner in the stands doing the tomahawk chop. That just cracks me up. But at any rate, so what this group did, these American Indians, is they founded an intramural basketball team in a college in Colorado, University of Northern Colorado, and they named their team the Fightin' Whiteys, to educate us so we can see how terrible it is to name your team after an ethnic group or some group of people. And certainly there are no Caucasians that are going to care. No one will care. It's humorous. The Fighting Whiteys. I only hope they have a good record. I hope they get to the playoffs. That's my only concern. But naming a team like the Atlanta Braves, the Kansas City Chiefs. Professional sports, football in America, it's elevated beyond anything else in our culture. It's a high statement of respect, like a compliment that you're brave, you're courageous, you're strong. So you're like an Indian. Well, we have the New England Patriots. Is that an insult to white men who came over to Plymouth Rock? Is it an insult to those who love their country, the New England Patriots? And how about the New York Jets, named back when a jet was really a wonderful and incredible thing, and everybody was blown away by these new jets? So we have the New York Jets. Or the Miami Dolphins. We're going to have animal rights groups saying, you're disrespecting these mammals of the sea. Now, if somebody names a toilet the Navajo, okay, then they have some reason to complain. But not a professional sports team, not the mascot of a high school. And I was driving through, I think it was an Apache Indian reservation, 2 years ago, coming back home from the Grand Canyon. And we were going through the American Indian high schools. We'd see the high schools off the highway. And some of their mascots were like the Chiefs and the Braves. And the Fighting Irish. How about the Fighting Irish? Are the Irish complaining about Notre Dame? The Celtics. I mean, it's just too funny. Come on. Give us a break. I think if you have a healthy view of yourself, then who cares? If you have a healthy view of yourself. But sadly, our American government, the one that's supposed to be so wise, has destroyed the American Indian population by enslaving them in welfare, where an American Indian on a reservation has a life expectancy of, I think, 45 years old, and a majority of the babies are born with fetal alcohol syndrome. We have our modern American government in the second half of the 20th century has utterly destroyed the American Indian population. Has destroyed it through the tragedy of American compassion. Their misguided compassion has destroyed now generations of American Indians. Once a proud people and now complicitous in their own destruction, because they allowed themselves to be addicted to the same welfare that destroyed our inner cities. You know, if the liberals had a plan back half a century ago, if the liberals all got together in a smoke-filled back room and said, how do we destroy blacks in the cities? How do we destroy American Indians? How could we do that? Let's see. And one of them said, I know. Let's start up a Social Security and welfare system where we'll give them money for the government so they don't have to work to pay for their own food and clothing and shelter. And not only that, if they get divorced or have kids out of wedlock, we'll reward them. And if they're alcoholics, we'll say they qualify for Social Security disability checks. And we'll give them even more money to buy their drugs and not go to work. What a plan to destroy millions of people. And we can do it all the time, claiming that we care and we're better than the conservatives. Hey, this is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.